Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. I hope that everyone is having a productive evening and is ready to just sit back, relax, and unwind with me around the fire. If you have a scary story you would like to submit, email it to me, zachbabytv@gmail.com. Now, without further ado, let's get spooky. This experience has haunted me for 10 years. Even all these years later, I think about it. I wonder if anyone has experienced something like this. All names in this story will be changed, if any names are even mentioned. When I was 18, I had to live with my estranged mother for a while. My parents divorced when I was in the 5th grade, and I wasn't forced to have any visitations or any of that, as she was abusive and the court awarded her no rights to me. My father was injured, out of work, and couldn't care for even himself barely, and I couldn't for the life of me find a job, so I couldn't survive on my own. I made the hard decision to call her and ask for her help. Looking back now, I should have just called another family member. Maybe then I wouldn't have been haunted by this experience. My mother didn't have her own home. She basically couch-surfed at her friend's place. Whenever I arrived, she informed me we'd be moving with a friend of hers who had an extra room for us to stay in. The town we lived in, no, it wasn't even a town. This village was so small, there wasn't even a grocery store, just a gas station. You have to go to the next town over to get your groceries. As soon as we entered the limits of that place, my chest felt heavy. All the buildings that laid abandoned were very old. As we pulled down the street, the feeling only got worse. By the time we pulled into the driveway and I stared at the house, I felt nauseous. I stared at this old house, a weird heavy feeling on my shoulders. I did not want to go in there. Did I really have to live here? Come on, hun. Let's go in and you can meet everyone. Okay, I said, just dreading having to go into this place. My mother's friend greeted me with a smile. She was nice enough. After some small talk, she asked if I wanted a tour of the house. My mother answered for me, accepting the offer. The living room was quite bare, merely a sofa, coffee table, a small TV, and a few books scattered on the bookshelf. Normal enough, right? We went to the dining room, which was completely bare, no table, nothing. We don't use this area, really. We have a table right in the kitchen. Weird. Why wouldn't you just pull your table to the dining room? Why leave this room empty? The more I saw of the house, the more it was clear. This house was really old. The bathroom was placed between her and her now husband's bedroom and their son's room, which connected through the two doors. So we had to go through her teenage son's room all the time of the day to use the restroom. That's not awkward. The bedroom that my mother and I would share was very small. The weirdest part was the layout. She explained that this house is very old, and that back then children would have their own rooms upstairs sometimes, so this room was made specifically to fit small children. The steps leading up to this bedroom were so small, you had to sidestep all the way up or be careful holding the hand railing. Once up there, I felt as if I was being watched. I noticed a door across the room. What does that door lead to? I asked cautiously. Oh, we never use it. When we moved in, the door was jammed. We couldn't get it open, so we just leave it be. Are you kidding me? Did I just walk into a freaking horror movie? I have to live here? Let's go down to the kitchen, and then we'll help you move your things to the bedroom. Sound good? The woman said, guiding us back down the stairs. We stepped down into the kitchen, and my nausea turned to straight fear. All I could hear was my own heartbeat pounding in my ears. I felt sick. I wanted to get out of this room immediately. I couldn't even hear what the woman was saying. I could see her mouth moving, but everything around me was deafening by my frantic heartbeat. "Hey, hun, you okay?" she said, placing a hand on my shoulder. I snapped out of it when she touched me, able to hear again. Is the tour done? Almost. All that's left is the basement, where you guys can do your laundry. She walked over a giant door on the floor and pulled it up. Oh, hell no. Are these people serious? As soon as the door opened, I felt like I was about to piss myself. The overwhelming feeling of fear took over me. I started shaking. I involuntarily screamed, and they both looked at me in concern. "Honey, what's wrong?" my mother said. "Are you okay?" her friend asked right after. "Shut the door. Shut it. Shut it. Shut it," I screamed, backing towards the back door, about to run out. The woman was quiet for a minute, but then she started to laugh at me. "Oh my, is your daughter sensitive to the paranormal or something?" she asked my mother. Well, as a child, she did mention seeing things. Which is true. When I was 6, my father's friend had a 3-year-old daughter who died of pneumonia. I saw her spirit until the day of the funeral. After they put her to the ground, I never saw her again, but I felt her presence any time we went to their house. When I was 10, we moved homes for a while. I saw a spirit of an elderly man at night when everyone had gone to sleep. Those spirits never filled me with any fear. I had never felt like I had felt in that moment when she opened that door. It felt as if she opened the door to hell itself. They guided me to the living room after closing and locking the basement door. So, this house is haunted, which obviously you can feel. You asked about the door upstairs, and you panicked when I opened the basement door. Just great. My mother moved us into a frickin' haunted house. So, as we know of, there are 3 spirits here, 2 children and a man. The children, as you guessed, live in the bedroom upstairs. The man, we aren't too sure where he's from. His energy is different from the kids. So, from what I could tell, the children generally stay upstairs. The man stays in the basement. A friend of mine who is sensitive to spirits, she didn't want to even go into the basement. She said that the man had an angry energy. But we've never honestly noticed any energy here. Neither has our son. Our daughter did when she lived here. She had moved out when she was 16. Oh, this just keeps getting better and better. The children are very kind though, apparently. Playful. You have no reason to fear them. And if you are uncomfortable to go into the basement, that's no problem. Me and your mom will help you do the laundry. Don't feel bad. My daughter, who is your age, she refuses to go into the basement too. It terrified her. Is that supposed to make me feel better, lady? I was not looking forward to living in this house, but I had no choice, I thought. I chose to ask my mother for her help, as I couldn't back out now. We moved our stuff in, and the first night came and passed without incident. I kept a routine, only being in the kitchen during the daytime, and only if someone else was in there with me. We brought my mother's dog once we had everything moved upstairs. Even the dog hated being in the kitchen. He constantly hid upstairs, but he was a good dog. If I went to the living room, he would accompany me. That dog is the only thing that helped me survive that place, honestly. It took 2 months to truly experience anything besides feeling like I was being watched, but once I did, everything seemed to slowly keep increasing. I was having one of my daily phone calls with my father. Our conversation was normal. Me asking him if he found a job yet, asking how he was feeling, etc. Then, all of a sudden, the phone went silent in the middle of him speaking. "Dad," I said, thinking the phone signal was weak and just cutting in and out. All of a sudden, there was the sound of static before an ear-piercing scream rang out of the cell phone. I pulled the phone away, looking at it. My screen was black, and then there were still screams coming out of it. Children's screams. All of a sudden, it stopped, and I heard my father's voice again. "Sweetheart, are you there?"
Dad?
"What's wrong, sweetie? Why did you get quiet?
Dad, did you hear it?"
"Hear what? You suddenly got quiet."
You didn't hear the screams?" I whispered into the phone.
"Screams? Are you okay? Where are you staying at?"
"Dad, I'll call you back," I said, tears filling in my eyes.
I hung up on him before he could say anything else. I walked across the room and sat on my bed beside that locked door. I took a deep breath, gathering my courage.
"If you could hear me," I began, "you don't have to scream at me to get my attention. I'm here. I'm listening. Just talk to me like normal. I'm not afraid of you two." I sat for a long time, waiting. But nothing happened. A month later, winter had come. Blankets of snow covered the ground outside. Late one night, my mother's dog was whining and scratching at the door, begging to be let out. "Okay, okay. Let me get my coat and we'll go out." I gathered everything I needed. My coat, hat, gloves, and a flashlight. The old road had no streetlights, so I couldn't see well enough just by the moonlight. I walked him down all over the yard, waiting patiently for him to relieve himself. Suddenly, the flashlight started to flicker. I tapped it against my other hand, thinking the batteries were just going out. All at once, it shut off. I panicked, trying to grab my dog and run back to the front door. When I looked at the house, I froze. I had left the living room light on, yet it was now off. I was in total darkness. I ran to the front door with the dog at my side. I tried to open the door, which I had left unlocked, to find it would not budge. I pounded my fists against the door. "Let me in! I'm outside! Let me in!" There was no response. The woman and her husband should have been able to hear me. Their bedroom was right beside the living room and front door. I was crying. I was afraid. It was dark outside. I could barely see under just the glow of the moonlight. I felt like somebody was watching me. As I kept pounding on the door, trying to get someone's attention, the dog started to growl. He was staring down the steps, snarling, backing up into my legs. Panicked, I looked around, trying to see what he was seeing. Was it a raccoon or some kind of other animal? What I saw was much worse. I looked down at the small window near the snowy ground, a window to the basement. I saw two glowing eyes burning red. I started sobbing. I curled up on the steps, covering my eyes, and the dog clung at my side, growling still. Suddenly, I heard the door open. "Honey, what are you doing? You'll freeze out here." My mother's friend stood there, looking down at me with concern. "Hurry, come inside." The dog ran in first, but looked back at me, waiting for me to follow. I rushed inside and ran to the couch. "Honey, why were you sitting on the steps like that?" I was sobbing loudly, but couldn't control the volume of my voice. "Why didn't you let me in?" I wailed. "Honey, what are you talking about?" "I was screaming and banging on the door. You didn't let me in." She stared at me, confused and shocked. "Sweetie, I didn't hear you. The front door was unlocked." I stared at her, tears still rolling down my cheeks. "No, it wasn't. I went outside with the dog, and when I came back to the door, it was locked. All the lights were off." She looked at me silently. "Sweetheart, I promise you, the door was unlocked. I got up to use the restroom, and I heard the TV on. I got up to turn it off, as it was just static, and then I noticed that your phone was still on the table. So I then came to the door and noticed the shoes were missing." I stared at her, dumbfounded. She didn't hear me screaming and beating on the front door? How? Then, I mentioned the basement. "Someone's in the basement," I told her. "Someone is down there. I saw their eyes." She tried comforting me, calming me down. "Let's get you to bed, hon. It's cold outside. Maybe you just got scared out in the dark and thought you saw something." Weeks passed without any incident again. But finally, I reached my breaking point after my final encounter in that house. I kept staying over at a friend's place, doing everything I could to be at that house as little as possible, but I couldn't stay away forever. One night, my mother and I came back late in the evening with some food we picked up at a drive-thru in the nearby town. My mother was exhausted and went to go take a shower. I was left alone in the kitchen to eat because I was not allowed to eat upstairs in the bedroom. I could already feel the heaviness in my chest rising up. My four-legged protector rushed to my side. That sweet dog ran down the stairs and came to lay at my feet. I put in headphones and blasted music, chewing as quickly as I could without choking so I could finish and go upstairs. As I was staring down at my phone, I thought I saw something move at the corner of my eye. When I looked up, I was shocked. Straight across from the table was the kitchen sink with a dish strainer right beside it. If you have a dish strainer, you know how they look. A plate just can't fall out of it easily. No one to this day believes me, but I know what I saw. Right in front of me, I watched a plate very slowly lift up from the strainer. It moved slowly until it was on the side of the counter. Then, it dropped down, crashing to the floor. The dog jumped and barked at it, and everyone came rushing in at the sound of the plate breaking. "What happened?" their voices echoed. I pointed at the strainer, then to the floor. I didn't do it. It was all I could say. They looked between each other, looking as if they didn't believe me. "It's okay, honey. You're not in trouble." "No, I'm serious. I've been sitting here the whole time. I didn't do it. It lifted up and then just dropped." They exchanged more glances at each other. "Okay, honey." "I didn't do it. Look, I'm using a paper plate." I was interrupted by them looking behind me. "Did you go down to the basement?" "What?" I turned slowly. The basement door was wide open and the light was on. I jumped up from the table and backed away. Where I had been sitting, my back was to the basement door. I didn't care if they believed me. Now I understood. The plate. It was the children. They were trying to get my attention. I had headphones on, so I couldn't hear anything. They were telling me to get out of the kitchen to not be alone in there. So, I listened. I never went alone in the kitchen again. But it only got worse from there. Every time I walked around that house, I felt like I was being watched by angry, hate-filled eyes. Finally, I was pushed over the edge. The last night I spent in that house, I was ill. I had come down with a terrible cold. I slept for almost 2 days straight, only waking up when my mother came home from work and forced me to drink some super water. I could barely stand on my own. It was almost 3 a.m. I know what you're thinking. Yes, 3 a.m. Worst timing. I had the overwhelming urge to use the restroom, so I quietly but quickly made my way to the staircase, trying not to wake my mother as I knew she had work in the morning. Usually, the dog followed me everywhere, especially to the bathroom. Not this time. This time, he refused. I kept trying to get him to follow me down. He sat at the top of the stairs, whining, almost begging me not to go down there. The urge to use the toilet was too strong, so I took off quickly on my own. I had forgotten to grab the flashlight or something to help me out with the darkness. I knew my way by now, but I should have brought some kind of source of light. It was pitch black in the house. I finished and quietly felt my way through the dark, finding the staircase. I knew I was close, and I left the nightlight on the top of the stairs where the dog was still waiting, whining. He began to whine really loudly. Before I could call his name trying to soothe him, something grabbed the back of my shirt and pulled me hard. Out of pure instinct, I gripped the railing tightly. The dog yelped, his tail between his legs, shaking and scratching at the top of the steps. His eyes told me he wanted to help me, but he was too scared to come down. The tears welled in my eyes as I finally gave up on trying to be quiet. I screamed as loud as I could, as the force pulling me had not loosened its grip at all. I strained, trying to pull myself and climb up the stairs. I was crying, begging for help, and no one was waking up. I closed my eyes, gripping the railing, refusing to let go. I suddenly felt the front of my shirt being pulled as well. I looked up. No one was there. Nobody was pulling me forward except somebody was. You could see my shirt was being pulled. The dog continued to whine and yelp at me. Still crying, I whispered, "Please help me." I felt the grip on the front of my shirt get stronger, pulling me forward, helping me climb up the stairs. The grip on my back slowly released. Once I got to the top of the stairs, I crawled across the bedroom floor, sobbing loudly. Finally, my mother shot up in bed. "What happened? What's wrong?" Through the tears, I told her what had happened as the lights around the house came on. Everyone in the house could now suddenly hear my sobs. I asked them why no one could hear me crying before. They were all confused, saying that they hadn't heard a thing, as if they had been deafened or as if I was trapped in this bubble where no sound could escape. But I remember hearing my screams and hearing the dog too. How could no one hear us? I told them everything, explaining as best I could. The husband went into the kitchen, looking around. He came up the stairs and whispered something to his wife's ear. "No one's in the house, but The basement door was open. That moment, I turned to my mother. I'm not going to stay here anymore. I'm going to go stay with a friend of mine until you find us somewhere else to stay. I refuse to stay here for one more night.
The couple who owned the house were staring at me apologetic.
Honey, we're so sorry. We didn't know this would happen. I mean, our daughter had said some things, but she was up by herself, so we figured since you were with your mom up here that...
What? That whatever monster is living in the basement could come after me? Whatever is down there is evil. It's bad. It wants to hurt me.
I thought the children would protect you enough, the woman said, almost a whisper. You know there's something bad here that hates young girls, obviously, and you still let me stay here in danger.
He's never bothered me, my husband, or my son, even. He only ever scared our daughter, so we thought maybe it was just her. We had no idea.
That I would be attacked?
Sweetie, we're so sorry.
I didn't say another word after that. Everyone went back to bed except me. I sat awake, holding the dog in my arms, waiting for the sun to rise. The next day I called my friend, who immediately agreed to let me move in for a while. I packed my belongings quickly and loaded them into her mother's van. Within a few months, I was back living with my father again, in another state, far away from that house. The last time that I heard about that house was a story about how there was a major gas leak inside that could have killed them. They weren't home at the time. When they unlocked the door, they smelled gas. They called 911, who sent someone out. After inspection, they found that all the gas lines in the basement had been cut. Not leaked, not loosened. Cut. Intentionally. There was no sign of a break-in, so the police couldn't do anything about it.
I knew. That family knew. The house is not fit to be lived in. I hope that no one else with children will ever live there. It'd be better if the whole house was demolished altogether. I'm thankful that I got out of there before I was seriously harmed. What would have happened to me had I gone into that basement?